Mr. Chipman, good morning to you. You may approach and you may proceed.
Good evening, court. My name is Dave Chipman and I represent the appellate Juan Flores Pena. This matter came before the district court on a sexual assault protection order. And at the end, in conclusion of basically a two-day trial, the court issued a harassment protection order. One of the matters that has come, you know, basically makes this case more interesting is definitely the passage of LV 532, Your Honor. And in the face of this court's decision in DW versus AG, I would say, Your Honor, that DW it should not be overruled. DW stood for the proposition of law that you can't submit a new legal theory at the conclusion of the case without allowing the person to have, you know, to present evidence on that new legal theory.
Are you contending that section 28-311.11, as it's been amended, is unconstitutional, no, either on its face or as applied to your client?
No, I'm not, Your Honor. I'm not, because I believe that 28-311.11, specifically subsection 7, still requires that the respondent be given an opportunity, if there's a change of legal theory, to present evidence on that new legal theory. So in this case, it was a sexual assault protection order. Nobody asked for it to be changed. All the evidence led towards those allegations, which the court ultimately found was not credible.
When you say there's a change of legal theory, in this case, factually, did the petitioner make a change of legal theory, or did the court, after all the evidence was submitted, just determine that the evidence better fit a different kind of protection order?
Well, as you know, Your Honor, the court never made any specific findings, but absolutely the petitioner in this matter did not change the legal theory. That was done, so basically that was done by the court at the conclusion of the evidence a few days later when it issued an order changing the ex parte sexual assault protection order to a harassment protection order. And so I think the important thing is what LB 532 does. It says, yes, the court can take a harassment petition or a sexual assault petition and does have the authority to convert it. However, it doesn't.
We had already said that.
Right. You absolutely have. And you said it in several cases. The courts of appeals have said it in Sherman. I believe you said it in DW. They have to have notice. And again, you have to have notice, and there's no notice in this.
Well, does the passage of the statute sort of change the notice calculus so that prior to the statute, in the world in which DW was decided, there wasn't any reason to believe that a different protection or different type of protection order might be on deck? But after the statute, does the statute make it so that everybody knows all the options are on the table?
Well, Your Honor, I would direct you to subsection 7 of that statute, 311.11, subsection 7, which it says, you know, any notice, right? Any notice of an ex parte protection order, you know, says that they can convert it. However, it says that the respondent shall have an opportunity to show cause as to why such order should not be entered. Even on the face of that ex parte protection order, it says the court, on its own motion or the request of a petitioner, may treat it differently.
Isn't that sufficient, the notice that was on the form?
But it's not, because it says on its own motion. It still shows that there has to be some kind of notice to give you an opportunity to demonstrate why that new legal theory should.
So what do you think should have happened in this case?
In this case, if the court was considering a harassment protection order instead of a sexual assault protection order, it should have let the parties know, hey, I'm considering this, is there, and allowed each party to direct its evidence towards that, at least allow the respondent to respond to that.
I beg your pardon. This is Justice Miller-Lerman. Are you suggesting there should be additional hearings when the theory to which the trial judge is attracted is determined?
Yes. If the judge determines it after the hearing, absolutely, to allow the parties to present evidence as to that new legal theory. As DW says, These are two completely separate type of theories.
Mr. Chipman, I want to go back to the form for a second.
Yes, sir.
Don't, in the post amendment context, aren't all respondents on notice that any particular type of protection order is on deck based upon whatever the evidence is that's presented at the hearing?
Yes, but if I could just clarify, Your Honor, the language actually says a court on its own motion or at the request of the petitioner on its own motion, and by the very term of motion, provides notice and notice and opportunity for hearing. I mean, when does a court ever make a decision on its own motion without allowing the other party to, or a party to present evidence and at least be heard? And that is a fundamental due process, right? It's not fair. They go through this entire proceeding over and over again, talking about sexual harassment.
Why didn't your client have the opportunity at the hearing that actually occurred to present whatever evidence that bore on the issue of what type of protection order of any kind might be appropriate?
Well, Your Honor, and that goes really to my second argument in this matter, which the entire focus was on one thing, which was inappropriate sexual contact. And again, the entire case was on inappropriate sexual contact. And I think it's important to note, as all these cases talk about, particularly DW, is with a sexual assault protection order, it's literally one inappropriate sexual contact. It, for instance, in the case of, I think it's SB versus Pfeiffer, it's a court of appeals case, one hit to the buttocks is sufficient to affirm a sexual assault protection order. Here, they didn't find that credible. Obviously, so given the fact that the testimony of the petitioner in this matter, who had to read from the petition, she had basically no facts that would support it. Everything was very generalized. In reality, and as this court reviews this matter de novo, all the evidence led to the fact that these people were in a consensual relationship. You know, she was calling the respondent in this matter to have lunch on his day off throughout the proceedings up until the point in time when her husband finds out, and all of a sudden he's committed sexual assault. And so the court clearly abuses its discretion, because if you read this, it doesn't make sense that how can you not have a sexual assault, you know, but yet have harassment under the facts as alleged, where she's saying, you know, generally alleging that he's touching her vagina, breast, buttocks, and the inside of her clothes. That he's having her, forcing her to touch his genitalia.
Could the trial court have believed some of her testimony, but not all of it? Is that possible?
Is it possible? Conceptually, yes. But given the fact that the primary reason we were there was for sexual assault, how can you say that the court found her credible? When, again, it's so, I don't want to say it's easy to find a sexual assault, but given just one of those contacts, if credible, was a grounds for a sexual assault.
So what do you want this court to do?
I want the court to do exactly what they did in DW, which is to remand the matter and with direction to vacate the harassment protection order and maintain the court's dismissal of the sexual assault.
I know you're in your rebuttal time, but what do you make of the blank on the form about special findings?
Well, the court was required by the statute to make those findings. It did not, and therefore it's not a valid order. I think that's another grounds for the court to vacate it. I understand that the court could vacate it and remand and request that the court.
Is the part of the form that says whatever that line says, yes, the credit part, is that sufficient by itself?
Absolutely not, Your Honor. I cite a case in there. It's the Lingna case versus City of Gehring, where general findings are not the same as specific findings, or, you know, special findings. And there's absolutely, I mean, there's a form there and it says, list why you're changing this, blank. That adds to the peculiarity of this case, which shows even further that there was an abuse of discretion for that court to.
So there's a finding, for what it's worth, that a different type of protection order was more appropriate. That's as far as the finding goes, right?
That's right. It's a general finding.
And so how does that fail to comply with the statutory requirement?
Because under subsection 8 of that statute, it says specific findings, and those are absolutely not specific findings.
What more detail would be required?
It would have to be some kind of finding beyond that it's more appropriate. It would have to say you know, because of this evidence, you know, and I don't want to speculate to what it might be that he, you know, was calling her all the time or something like that, you know.
It's the Y, the WHY that's missing.
It is, but it's not, it requires a special finding. There's nothing special about this. It's completely general. And so that is ultimately, I mean, it doesn't comply with the statute at all. I still believe, and I think.
Why are specific findings?
Well, you know, generally, there is no requirement for specific findings. It's a blank form. But the legislature would have its way to say special findings in this case. But when you're going to convert it, you have special findings. And so because of that specific language in LB 532 that modified 311.11 subsection 8, it did change it. So normally a court doesn't have to make, you know, special findings, but this, they're actually mandated by statute.
They're mandated by statute, but is there some importance to that?
There, it is important because of the fact that as you, particularly as you sit here as someone representing a respondent, to try to explain to them why this court converted it when all they were talking about was a sexual, inappropriate sexual contact.
Is it important because protection orders can be abused?
They absolutely can be abused. 100% can be abused. And in this case, it was very abused because at the end of the day, she was using it as a shield to shield herself from her infidelities with her husband. And so the court didn't, again, the court, she came to this court with a sexual assault protection order. And the court did not find that to be credible, given all of the, and it doesn't, I mean, it doesn't make sense that we're sitting here talking about her arrest protection order, given what she was presenting for the court, which was basically nothing to begin with, as she was reading from the petition. She wasn't even answering directly her own lawyer's questions, but the court has the obligation, the trial court has the obligation to make the special findings. It doesn't, and it doesn't save the, so it doesn't save the day. So it doesn't comply with the statutory language. It should be vacated and reversed on that as well, on that grounds, because there's even a place on this form to say where the special findings are, and it's completely blank. And I think that that's at the very least mandated by the legislature, as I would agree, as I would argue that it's also mandated by the legislature to provide parties with an opportunity to, you know, rebut when a legal theory has changed. Even though a legal theory could be changed by the court, they still have to have the opportunity to ultimately argue those facts. Looks like my time is more than up, so I appreciate this court's time very much. Thank you.
Thank you very much. I'm sorry, counsel. Is it Ms. Works or?
Gina Elliott, Senior Certified Law Clerk.
Ms. Elliott, and good morning to you.
Good morning. May it please the court. My name is Gina Elliott, and I am a senior certified law clerk with attorney McKenzie Works. We represent Ms. Ortega, the appellee in this case, and we would agree that the district court was correct in its decision in issuing a harassment protection order. And we would also contend that Mr. Flores's due process rights were not violated when the court issued the harassment protection order instead of the sexual assault protection order.
And how was that notice protected?
We believe that the amendment to section 28-311.11 section 7 clearly states that any notice provided to the respondent shall include notification that a court may treat a petition for a sexual assault protection order as a petition for harassment protection order. It's cited on Ms. Ortega's petition and affidavit that was produced for the respondent. It was also on the ex parte order. It's cited to it. So we believe that.
That's enough.
Yes. Yes. It clearly states that it the court could determine that a harassment protection order would fit better under these circumstances. And we believe that while this is factually similar to DW versus AG, this amendment came out less than a month after that, and it was the legislature's clear intent to allow these sections to provide notice for a harassment protection order could be entered.
Is there a way to read DW and the statute together?
I think that DW, I don't know if I think that it could be read together. I think that the legislature's intent is that this section provides notice to the respondent that a harassment protection order may be entered instead.
Before the statutory change, and even before DW, there were some cases where they're not from this court and from the Court of Appeals that suggested a process that judges should use when there is a possibility that a different type of protection order might be found. Are you familiar with those, and are those still applicable?
I do not believe I am very familiar with those. I know that there were other cases that discussed similar scenarios, and in those other cases, the courts stated that, you know, the relief sought in protection orders is fairly similar. So the notice requirement could be met.
The relief sought may be similar, but the facts to prove your entitlement to a protection order may differ based on the type of protection order that's being sought, correct?
Yeah, correct. But I believe that the respondent had noticed that the facts could sway the Judge Zimmerman to issue a harassment protection order instead of a sexual assault protection order. He had noticed that this could happen. He was represented by counsel. He produced witnesses that testified at the trial. He had opportunity to cross-examine Ms. Ortega.
Do you disagree with Mr. Chipman's characterization of the hearing that is specifically focused on sexual assault protection?
I would disagree with that because while there was, she discussed sexual harassment, there was other types of harassment going on, threats regarding Ms. Ortega and her children, kidnapping her. And just because some of the threats and harassment included sexual harassment, I don't think that that is, that doesn't mean that a harassment protection order could not be entered. The facts, the defendant or the respondent knew the facts that were being presented and knew that a harassment protection order could be entered.
Did the district court make a specific finding that a harassment protection order was more appropriate than a sexual assault protection
order? Yes, I believe so. In its order, it stated, Judge Zimmerman stated that he found that based on the facts presented at the show cause hearing and on the petition and affidavit, a harassment protection order was more appropriate under these circumstances.
So what do you make of the statute when it says, and if the court makes specific findings, that such order is more appropriate? Where are the specific findings here?
I believe that his order stating that he relied on the affidavit and the petition and the evidence at the show cause hearing could be a specific finding, you know, based on the evidence presented and the credibility of the witnesses that are included in the record. I believe that.
Does the judge say any of that?
He doesn't say it, but I.
Is the judge required to say it by statute?
I don't, based on my reading of the statute, I don't think the judge is required to say that. It just states that the court makes specific findings that such other orders are more appropriate. And he.
Counsel, the legislature chose the plural form of the word findings, not the singular form. Arguably, at least, that the statement that's printed on the form might be a specific finding, but it's singular. And the statute requires findings plural. Where do we find in the face of that order the other finding?
Yeah, I would agree that maybe you don't, but I would also contend that there hasn't been any procedural case law on this issue. So the judge did.
Don't you suspect that's why you're in this court?
Yes, I do. So,
counsel, what's your understanding of how this case got on Judge Zimmerman's desk when it was filed in the district court? I'm aware that both county court judges and district court judges have jurisdiction, but what's your understanding of how it got down into county court?
I am not exactly sure what occurred, so no, I'm not sure.
What do we make of the fact that the form protection order says the court specifically finds as follows, and then there's a blank?
I don't know, but he does state that, you know, that based on the affidavit and petition and testimony at the trial, that he believed a harassment protection order would be best. I know that that's not stated on that part of the form, though.
Do you have any understanding of why, and I don't know that this is relevant, but the judge refiled the case under a new case number? Do you have any understanding of
why? We kind of wondered the same thing, but we would also just go back to, you know, there's not a lot of clear procedure to follow in these types of cases regarding sexual assault protection order and this. So we're not sure about that.
Was there a filing fee paid for a new case?
I'm also not sure about that.
And was it filed in the district court or the county court?
I believe it was filed in the district court, but I'm not certain on that.
Do you believe that this refiling might have been somewhat left over from the prior practice prior to the amendment of the statute, that perhaps the trial level thought it needed a new case number to do a different thing?
That is a very good possibility in that case.
And of course, there is no filing fee for a protection order at the outset, is there?
No.
If this court found that there were some flaws here, for example, that specific findings were not found, what should we do with it?
Well, we would ask that it be remanded back, maybe have another show cause hearing. The court, I don't think intentionally tried to just put one finding instead of multiple findings. So if we could just remand it back, redo the show cause hearing and
could it be remanded back to the court to make specific findings on the existing record?
I believe so.
This is Justice Miller-Lerman, and maybe we are or not spending too much time on findings plural. The majority of this court has held in the past where a statute said the trial court should give its reasoning. The majority of this court has said just a list of reasons meets that particular word. So maybe we just shouldn't get all too dedicated to the plural.
And we would just also contend on the next issue that Ms. Ortega did meet her burden to establish a harassment protection order. She testified to many examples of what happened, and we would just ask that you would affirm the district court's finding.
Thank you very much. Do we have any time for rebuttal? There is no time for rebuttal, counsel. You are excused, and this is the last case of the day. The court is adjourned.